From 12 to 3 is one shift. From 3 to 6 is another shift. From 6 to 9 is another shift. From 9 to 12. So that's four quarts in 3 hourly shifts. So Peter was under maximum security prison. And during that time, the church was praying. So what happened? Peter was there sleeping. And the Bible tells us that the angel appeared to Peter and he kicked Peter to wake up. Imagine you are on death row. You are going to be executed the next day. And yet Peter was sleeping that the angel had to kick him to wake him up. Who gets to be executed the next day and sleeps? Sometimes even me, if I run into a little problem, the next thing that happens, my stomach is loose. I can't sleep. Some people are like that. Any small problem, you can't sleep. They tell you that, oh, somebody is sick back home, you cannot sleep. And yet we have Peter, who was going to be executed, and he was sleeping, that the angel had to kick him up to wake him up to say, get up. That is a demonstration of something I want to go into, which it says, how you handle crisis. How you handle crisis. 4 ways. Because of time, I'll rush this one up. The first one is, you respect the mystery of God's providence. You respect the mystery of God's providence. His providence is his sovereign will for our lives. Remember, God has the overall control. He's arranging things in the background that we cannot see. That's why the hymn says, God is working his purpose out as the year succeeds year to year. We need to respect the mystery of God's providence. We do not need to know what happens in the background. All we need to know that, according to Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of all. That is why we say we walk by faith and not by sight. Because we need to respect the mystery of God's providence. Number two, we request the ministry of God's people. We request the ministry of God's people. Who are the ministry of God's people? The church. And what is the ministry? Prayer. That is why it's very important you are next to somebody who knows how to pray. You're next to somebody who knows how to pray because prayer changes things. Say that with me. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things because that's what God wants us. Remember I told you that, remember the credit card analysis I did, that the expired card and the card. Now, similarly, if you go to the bank and you give a check, you have to sign on that check. If your signature is not correct, the bank is not going to process it. So this is something like that. We have all the things that Jesus has already provided. God wants us to actually ask for it. And asking for it, you have to make sure your signature is correct, what you're requesting is correct. You go through all that Jesus has already provided so that it can be made manifest in your life through prayer. Prayer is important. So you request the ministry of God's people. Number three, we rest in the mastery of God's peace. Rest in the mastery of God's peace. As I said, Peter was on death row and Peter was sleeping. What was he doing? He was resting in the mastery of God's peace. He was resting in the mastery of, you don't care to know what happens around. They may execute me, they may do this to me, they may do that to me, but I know that I rest in the mastery of God's peace. And when you rest in the mastery of God's peace, there is no weapon fashion against you that shall prosper. Because what we see is on the outside, we're looking at you. See, we always say that you do not be afraid of somebody who can take your flesh, but you be afraid of the one who can take your soul. Because the body is nothing. We are nothing. But your spirit and your soul is what matters. So Peter was there resting in the mastery of God's peace. So, if we go back to the text,
Verse 7. Let's put on verse 7 quickly. Verse 7, please. All right, whilst it's been. So, what I want you to know, if you have a place to write it down, peace is not the absence of trouble, but rather peace is the presence of God in your life. Peace is not the absence of trouble, but peace represents the presence of God is in your life. When you have that presence of God, you have that presence of the peace, you know, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. It keeps your heart and your mind through the knowledge of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. That is resting in the mastery of God's peace. Number 4, we rejoice in the majesty of God's power. We rejoice in the majesty of God's power. Do you think that God was out of control when James was executed? No, he was not. He was still on the throne. And this same God we see was on the throne when Peter was rescued. And in the majesty of God's power, what is the majesty of God's power? His chains fell off. His chains fell off. If you go to the text, you see, and suddenly, that's the power. And suddenly, all the angel did was he stepped up and said, get up. And suddenly, these chains fell off. Remember, the chain was actually next to, it was chained within two soldiers. But the majesty of God's power, it comes with that sudden rush. See, and suddenly. There are several verses, passages in the scripture, in the Bible, which one wants to actually say the power of God is coming. It comes with that sudden rush. Something that fills you. It shatters every dark chain. We have a song that we sing in the choir. Break every chain. Every yoke. Every demon, everything that has been holding you, when the power of God comes in, and suddenly all chains are broken. And Peter was there, suddenly his chains fell off. And what happened? It represents the majesty of God's power. And the angel said unto him, hey, get up, put on your clothes. Peter was not wearing any clothes. Imagine that kind of prison. He was not wearing any clothes. Put on your sandals. He was not wearing any shoes. But yet, no clothes. But that guy was sleeping and he was supposed to be executed. We see how the power of the Holy Spirit works. Friends, I don't know what your situation today. But I know that as long as you rest in the majesty of God's power, your chains will be broken in Jesus' name. Now the verse continues. Once Peter was going, door by door, the Bible says, the doors open on its own accord. Now, you know what that represents? You know, like when you go to those big stalls, like in New York, they have all of those big stalls, the malls. The moment you walk in, the door just opens. That's what Peter, he was in chains and he was going. Remember, there was security, security, security. The doors were just opening. Peter was just walking past. And he thought he was seeing a vision. But that's the majesty, how the operation of God. So you want to doubt the power of prayer? And you want to doubt the Holy Spirit, how it works? He has given us that commission. He said, go. And that's the part I love in the Bible. When the scripture says, go. He always tells you. Remember, even when Jesus was actually baptized, Jesus didn't start his ministry until after he was baptized. And the Holy Spirit, the heavens opened and said, this is my beloved Son. In whom I am well. He's given him that commission to go because he's now been empowered. And that's the same thing. When Jesus died and rose again, he told the disciples, wait for me. I will send something that will give you that armory so that when you go, all doors will be open in front of you. And that's the power we require through faith and through prayer, that when we are engulfed with the Holy Spirit's power, we become empowered that when we go, all doors will be open. All chains are broken. And that is what is my prayer this morning. I don't know what your situation is, whether what storm you are going through, what problems you may be facing this hour. But I declare by the power of the Holy Spirit that they be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. All evil plots and powers of the devil be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? Amen? Let's stand up and let us pray. Heavenly Father, your servants are humbly bowing their heads in front of you this hour, committing their lives to you because they know you are the source of their power. You are the source of their strength. You are the source of grace for them. And without you, we are nothing. We are nothing here on earth. We are nothing here on the afterlife. That's why we require you. We worship you. We declare your presence everywhere we go, that your Holy Spirit will continue to abide with us. Your Holy Spirit will continue to be with us, to be our guide, to be our comforter. Because Jesus, you are the center of it all. Lord, I pray for deliverance. I pray for breakthrough. I pray for all spirit of bondage in their lives to be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We receive what you have provided for us through your finished works on the cross, that day by day we will continue to grow in the love and harmony and to establish a communal fellowship with you. In the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, in the name of God the ever-blessed Spirit, amen. Amen. That's it.
Hallelujah. Amen. You feel blessed? I feel blessed. Are you? Let's thank God once more. And an applause to our preacher today. How I feel that the Lord would strike somebody who is sleeping. Huh? Many of us are sleeping, isn't it? If he would send his angel to strike us, say, wake up. Then we would arise to be giants. Hallelujah. These same guys who were powerless, when the angel of the Lord struck them, miracles were happening everywhere. Hallelujah. In the next chapter, you see that when Saul and Silas were busy ministering and the sorcerer came and he was opposing them, Saul just declared, okay, from today onwards, you will not see the sunshine. And his eyes were zipped, zoop. Hallelujah. Oh, what a mighty power. What a mighty Lord we serve. May the Lord strike us so that we get that power to go and zip the eyes.